Welcome to Coached Up, the official podcast of Coaches vs. Cancer. Thank you for joining us. I'm DJ Allen, and it's game time.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Coached Up. Our guest today is legendary coach Tubby Smith, who recently stepped away from his position as head coach at his alma mater of High Point University. This interview was recorded early in the season prior to that news, but there's still a lot of great insight from Coach Smith and Coach Lon Kruger that still applies. From everyone involved with Coaches vs. Cancer, we thank Coach Smith and wish him good health in what lies ahead. With that, let's get to the interview.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome into Coached Up. Thank you for joining us. What a conversation we have today with really two of the icons of college basketball in recent decades. Of course, our co-host, the first coach to take five different teams to the NCAA tournament. And our special guest today is the second coach to take five different teams to the NCAA tournament. So Coach Kruger, chairman of Coaches vs. Cancer Council, our co-host, when you think about what has made Coach Tubby Smith so special throughout the years, what is it that you think about?
Well, same thing everyone else thinks about when I think of Coach Smith, just a quality individual, you know, as good of a basketball guy and basketball mind that he has, you know, everyone holds Coach Smith in the highest regard, you know, just a terrific individual, a great relationship with the players. His teams always compete really hard. You know, when you go against a Coach Smith team, you know, you're in for a fight, and you know, they're going to be well coached and well prepared and, just a true gentleman of the game. And Coach, we appreciate your time tonight. How's your squad this year? What do you like about them?
I like our group. We've got a veteran group. You know, when I first came here, we did it with young players. And so we tried to do it with freshmen. And now those guys are sophomores and juniors. And with COVID, you know, for some of them, they're going to get an extra year. So that's been beneficial. So I've been pleased with our development. So
good. Coach Smith, now back at your alma mater at High Point, and you've had the opportunity to coach for so many years, have enjoyed so much success doing it throughout your career. When you wake up in the morning, what gets you excited about going into the gym?
Well, first, I'm excited just to be awake. You know, every day above ground is a great day. And, you know, every time you can, you know, And my buddies always tell me, said Tubby, and my dad used to tell me, boy, don't you ever think of what you're doing as work. And I tell our players all the time, if you can find something you love and you have a passion, love doing, and you have a passion for it, then you're going to figure out ways to, you're going to be so excited about being at the office, being on the basketball court, and you're going to be able to accept just about anything that comes your way, whether it's, and you're going to do everything in your power to protect the game. And one of the best terms that I think we've used in college coaching circles has been a guardian of the game. And I know that Coach Kruger, you know, he's been one of the most sincere, one of the greatest gentlemen to ever play or coach the game of basketball. So it's truly an honor to be on this call tonight. And but that's what I think about. I think about just how blessed and how fortunate I am to have a part, to be a play a part in this game of basketball.
Coach, that's a perspective I'm not surprised by. You know, you have always approached the game that way, and certainly one of the true guardians of the game, no doubt about that. Over the years, the game's changed a lot. Yeah. During our times. If you were to point to one or two changes over the last 3 to 4 decades, what stands out to you the most?
Well, you first have to start with the rules that have implemented to, you and I both know the game was heading in a direction where, you know, physical, the you know, we implemented the shot clock to keep the excitement, because let's face it, we've got to draw people and fans. You know, basketball is probably the second biggest revenue generating opportunity other than tuition, other than football. in every campus. So, you know, so we understand that we are in an entertainment field for some of us, but we also understand that that the changes from three-point shooting, the obvious thing now is the transfer portal and NIL. Those are things that are most recent. But I think the shot clock, the three-point shooting, and the rule changes to protect, you know, offensive players. And you've coached the NBA. The NBA had it. And so we kind of follow suit. You know, the NBA scoring went up. You know, after they – you know, I'm thinking about the young man at Atlanta now that coached, and he back then, you know, they were taking guys out the air. They try to break your neck. You went to the basket, you know, and even in college basketball, you played at Kansas State, coach. You know how physical it was, right?
Yeah, no question.
But those are things that I think have made a difference in the game today.
No, for sure. And one of the changes, the rule changes you talk about, it used to be October 15th was Magic 8. You know, you leave teams in the spring and you really don't see them on the court again until October 15th. Right. Now you can work with them and start a summer school. What has been your philosophy with regard to the workouts in the summer and the fall leading up to the official workouts late September, early October?
Well, you know, we've kind of, you know, you want to follow suit and you feel like you may be getting behind, but I've always felt like players need that time to grow and develop and play pickup. I always thought that, I don't like really watching guys play, you know, and having to have to work them out in the summer. I just don't, you know, I can see them lifting, but now nobody, when you and I went to school, we had summer jobs. And even up until the NCAA allowed us to bring freshmen to matriculate before September, before regular scout classes, you know, everybody had to work summer jobs. So they didn't have time to be, you couldn't work with your players. And I think it has pushed, and you know, I can see why we've had to implement, you know, the off days, you know, because, you know, you have to have 12 days off. I mean, we just had election day off. Heck, I needed a day off. You know, I needed a summer off. Not that I don't love the game. I'd do it. I'm here 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. That's how much I love the game. But, you know, you've got to have room to grow. And I think young people need that.
Yep, no question. Well, it's interesting talking to different coaches, and typically the younger ones, you know, as it turns out, are driving hard and and someone with your experience, of course, knows how long the season is, how much of a grind it is, the idea of letting, you know, players grow in other ways as well, as 18, 19, 20-year-old kids need time to do. So not surprised that you approach it that way, and you've got a new facility. You got to be proud of that. You got a big hand in that coming back to your alma mater.
I'm really proud of what we've been able to achieve here. So I'm excited about it and looking forward to it.
Coach Smith, I've had some great conversations with Coach Kruger over the last couple of years. And one of the conversations and topics he brought up was, you know, what would he do differently if he could go back and do his career over? As you look at that, I want to ask you that question. Is there anything that you look at and say, hey, you know, maybe I would do this differently?
Well, you know, I would probably go the route that Coach Kruger went on, you know, probably give the NBA a shot. You know, I've always had a few opportunities, but I had good jobs, you know, everywhere I've been. And I was, and I'm sure that Lon would say the same thing. When you're with good people and things are going okay and you're competitive, you're running a good, clean program, and you're happy to come to work and you're helping these young people reach their dreams and their goals. But if I had to do it over again, I would have coached my third son. That's the one regret I had. He ended up going to Ole Miss. And those 6 years that I coached my oldest son, Gigi, at Georgia, and my middle son, Saul, at Kentucky, were the winningest 7 years in my coaching career. And God rest his soul, Fletcher Arrett, the head, was at Fork Union, and my youngest son went to prep school at Fork Union Military Academy. And Fletcher Arrett drove across the mountains from Virginia through West Virginia to say, "Coach, you need to take your son to Kentucky." And so, but that's, I was so blessed to be able to have two sons that could play at that level. But it was just, we didn't want to, because the stress that he would be under being a third player playing for his dad might have been tough. But he had a good career at Ole Miss.
And what are they doing today? I know coaching's in their blood.
Yes. Well, my oldest son, Gigi, who played for me at Georgia, is my associate head coach here at High Point. And I think he's sort of coaching waiting. But he's been a head coach before at Loyola. And then you've got Saul is out in Milwaukee. He's out of coaching right now, but he needs to get back into it. And Brian, he coaches high school ball in Fort Lauderdale area.
So, Coach, talking about younger coaches, if you had an opportunity to go back and talk to 22-year-old first-time head coach Tubby Smith at the high school level, what would you tell Coach Smith?
I would say patience, young man. Patience, my boy. But I learned that valuable lesson growing up on a farm in Southern Maryland, that you can't rush Mother Nature. Players are, they're only going to go so big and grow so strong, and they only can do so much. And you can only do so much. I think looking back on it, I've tried to be a little more organized and prioritize things, which I think I did a fairly good job. But if I were 22 years, I didn't know that at 22. My coaches tried to tell me when I was playing basketball, but I always wanted to be a coach. I knew I was going to coach in the ninth grade. So everything I did. So I'm one of those guys that you can't, when I talk to our players about what degrees, and most of them, they get the junior year and they haven't even decided what they want to major in or what they want to do. I'm like, Paul, I wish I could tell you, but I was blessed to know that I was going to teach and coach. My ninth grade math teacher, who was also my JV basketball coach, talked my dad into letting me come out for the team. And he's Cecil Short. He just died 2 years ago. I was at his funeral. So you asked me that question. I would tell him that just be patient. Do the right thing. Don't rush. Because when you start to rush, you take shortcuts. You start compromising your values, and that leads to problems.
With Coach Smith, Coach Kruger, we can look at some numbers between the two of you, over 1,300 collegiate wins. We talked about both of you with five different teams in the NCAA program. Of course, Coach Smith with Tulsa, Georgia, winning a national championship with Kentucky, Minnesota, Texas Tech. We can talk about all those numbers, but I think what's most importantly, I had a conversation earlier today with a friend of both of yours, Brooks Downey, uh-huh. who, as we know, with BD Global now, produces a lot of games, does a lot of work for Coaches Versus Cancer. Of course, he knows Coach Smith very closely through his Kentucky ties. Right. And he said something today. He said, "You know what, DJ? You may not be able to find a nicer guy in this industry than Lon Kruger, but if you can, it's probably Tubby Smith." And to both of you, to look at that, you competed at the highest level. You are competitive. You are secure in what you do. You want to win, but you've treated people the right way throughout your career. How important is that to both of you?
Go ahead, Coach.
Our stories are probably pretty similar as it goes back to the foundation of our parents, or family, their expectations, I think, of us going in, you know, I'm sure I'm speaking for Tubby when I say, when we get up every day and do what we do, it's not that unusual because that's what we grew up with. You know, those were the expectations our families, parents had of treating others with respect and treating others like you'd like to be treated. And certainly, and when watching Tubby's career and following him, you know, and being good friends all these years, I've always appreciated and admired, you know, how Tubby treated others. And what he's all about is other people, and whether it be his family or his players, you know, or just others in general. You know, Tubby's never held himself above anyone else. He's always treated others with great compassion and respect, and I've always admired that about you, Coach Smith.
Well, same with you, Coach, and that's why I think we've gravitated towards each other. And you know, you're only as good as the people you surround yourself with, and certainly we've tried to surround and be around people like yourself, Coach, that have, you know, morals and ethics that is, you know, at least similar and or greater than. And so you're right, but it all goes back to your upbringing, and it really does take a village to raise a child. And we had 17 in our family, and everyone was making sure that we did things the right way. So parents, teachers, coaches were all influential in helping shape who we are today. And you're right, just respect. That's, you treat people the way you want to be treated. And the other thing is that, I think the thing about just having good manners, being polite, you know, that's all people want. I mean, you know, you don't have to be yes, sir, no, sir, but you've got to be able to treat people with respect.
Yeah, no question. And again, you know, we talk to our players just like you do yours. Your life is pretty simple. If you get up every day and work on your habits of being respectful, being on time, appreciating those around you and doing things for others, you know, it's a pretty simple world. Well, if everyone. Well,
and win or lose, Coach Kruger, was you going to be the same. See what I mean? You're going to shake hands and be genuine. You genuinely care about others, even the guy that you beat or the players that you, and that comes through when you're around you, Coach. And I appreciate that. I always admired that about you. And so thank you for being who you are.
No, thank you.
And that's why, you know, you're so involved with Coaches Versus Cancer, and you're giving back. To, you know, to much is given, much is required. And so you've lived that creed, and we're grateful for that.
And let's talk about that. Both of you, it's such a big extension of your careers as coaches. And Coach Smith, you know, you're a council member with Coaches Versus Cancer. I've been so involved with Suits and Sneakers, the golf events, Member for a Day, anytime. You know, Natalie Morrison with the American Cancer Society is, hey, let's ask Tubby. And you're always saying yes.
Yeah.
Right? You're always saying yes. Why is it so important to you?
Well, number one, you have to care. You know, people don't, they don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care. And until you can extend a helping hand, whether it's someone that's maybe it's, if it's cancer or whatever, you know, homeless, whatever you can do to make your community, your family, your program, your fans, and the world a better place, then that's what it's about for me.
DJ Coach is one of the best and ambassadors in the fight against cancer. And just like you said, he's always been ready and able and willing to step up and carry the banner and raising awareness, raising funds, giving the doctors, researchers more weapons to fight with and, you know, getting after this terrible disease. So we appreciate that, Tubby. And I know we got a long way to go in the fight, but I know you're going to be there every step of the way. And Donna as well, you know, it's a family deal.
Absolutely.
You know, and you guys have always been leaders and super involved, and we appreciate that.
And to that point for our listeners as well, Donna and Tubby also made a very sizable gift in support of Hope Lodge. when you're at Kentucky. So it's also been, you know, not just helping to raise dollars and helping to raise the awareness, which is so critical for Coaches versus Cancer, but actually giving your own resources towards the fight. We just want to thank you for all that you do and continue to do with Coaches versus Cancer.
Well, we need to get others involved, and we're looking forward to recruiting, because you know, this fight is, you know, we got a long ways to go, but we can win this battle, and we're winning, but we've got to be consistent in our effort. And no, Coach Kruger has been a great example. So that's all. So I just follow his lead.
Well, I tell you what, great conversation about career, your thoughts on leadership, on life, talk about Coaches versus Cancer. But now, Coach Smith, are you ready to go to overtime?
Okay. What?
Okay. Well, I got five quick questions, but first, a little known fact about Coach Tubby Smith. And it's not that the given name's Orlando. More people know that. But Coach, you were born in Scotland, huh?
Yeah, across the pond.
so we, hey,
the Patuxent River, the Potomac River, the Chesapeake Bay, that's the pond.
So Scotland, Maryland, for those. And again, Coach Kruger knows my bad humor. But little known fact, how often do you tell people you were born in Scotland and just leave it at that?
A lot. I do it a lot. And they look at me like, well, I'm a Smith. Come on.
Okay. We're going to overtime. Five quick questions, and then we'll call it a game. First question. If you didn't coach basketball, what would you be doing for a living?
Oh, boy. I'd be coaching football.
Easy way out, but we'll let you
go. It's an easy way out.
Okay. You brought her up, and, of course, she's been so involved in the Coaches versus Cancer effort as well. Three words your wife, Donna, would use to describe you?
Oh, too talkative. No, she's always saying, cut, you talking too much. You talk too much. That's probably it.
Okay. Outside of family and basketball, what would you consider a great passion in your life?
Oh, God, I would think my walk, you know, my faith. You know, I think that's been the key to my survival.
Great. Fourth question in overtime. Who is your favorite athlete growing up?
My favorite athlete was probably Oscar Robinson. You know, the Big O, because my real name's Orlando. So I kind of use that term, the Big O.
And last question, what's some of the best life advice you've ever received and you like to share with others?
Well, I think my dad taught me, you know, the great John Wooden used the term balance, but his whole thing was moderation. Don't go to one extreme or the other. And so what happens is you don't get too high when you win and don't get too low when you lose. You got to have moderation and balance in your life.
DJ, thanks for the time here with Coach Smith. He's one of my favorite people, and any opportunity to spend a little time with him is always enjoyable and appreciated. And I do appreciate the opportunity to spend that time tonight. So thanks, Thank Coach you. Smith. We appreciate
it. I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us. Two of the best who've ever done it, but more importantly, two of the best gentlemen who have ever done this thing that we love, that is coaching. Again, thank you for joining us for Coached Up. Thank you for supporting Coaches versus Cancer. Remember, life is a team sport, and we are rooting for you.